Okay. We are in Lamed Alfam now. The Amarat by Vuhushaye Bekaren Zavis Arbat Fachim Kadei Makom. What this means is that I believe it's where up to.
Close to that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe we're a little bit before that. Let me just check. Yeah, that's up to. Moshe Bekerin's office, Arab Fulham Kadei Makom. Now take a look at the pictures. The picture, otherwise, this is difficult to explain, but the picture is very easy. This, we're talking about a case of page Yud-Tesvav, picture Kuf-Chav Ches. Okay? In order to, we're talking about a case of an Oris Bekerin Zavis, an Oris on a, Oris on a corner. Obviously, this bottom picture is according to the Rosh, where you have three trees on one side and two trees on the other side. So in order to in order that there should be, we should be able to plant six Tvachim away from the last tree in the line, which is the Shita of Tanakama, or four Amos away from the last tree in the line, which is the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. So you must have at least four Tvachim between the Oris, between the last vine in the Oris and the end of the wall. The reason for that is if that there's less than four Tvachim between the last vine and the end of the wall, then that whole area is considered to be Batel, subordinate to the vine, and therefore you can only start counting the six Tvachim according to Tanakama, or the four Amos according to Rabbi Yossi, from the end of the fence and on. Okay? Again, if there's four Tvachim, then that end of the fence from the last vine till the fourth to the end of the fence. So then I say the end of that area is not subordinate to the vine, and I can start the meter of the sixth Tvachim ticking from the last tree. If, however, the area of that from between the last vine and the end of the fence is less than four Tvachim, then all that area is considered to be subordinate to the last vine, and then I can only start my meter of six Tvachim or four Amos from the end of the fence, not before that. Okay? That's what Gemara is saying here. Vushir b'kerem zavis arba Tvachim k'dei makom. Tanina nacha. Now, we learned over here to Rabbi Yossi that Rabbi Yossi requires four amos from the last vine to the beginning of the grain. With Tanina Sosa, and we looked at the previous paragraph that Rabbi Yossi holds, where you have a vine in a wine press or in a depression, they need four amos on all sides in order to allow you to plant. Okay, everybody remembers where we have a single vine in the middle of a wine press, means a depressed hole in the ground. You need four amos on all sides in order to begin planting. Why do we have to mention both opinions of Rabbi Yossi? If you would have just said our case over here, Lot Nisa Tamon, and not that case over there, however, I mean, I would have said Hacha Aideshu Hilchosar. It's because Oritz makes it consider as if it's a full blown vineyard of five trees in the proper arrangement. So therefore, at Amar Osir, I would say that that's why here you need four amos. Tamon, however, their Aideisha Eino Ichosari, since it's only a solitary vine, even though it's in a depression, so I might say, Tumutu, you don't need four amos, six Tvachim is enough. Have a Tzurcha Masnei Tamon. So that's why it's necessary to tell us the case over there. Oilu Tanisa Tamon, if you would have just told us the case over there, Velot Tanisa Tamon, would have told us the case over here. Havin Armin, I would have said, Tamon, there, I may, perhaps it'd be more machmir, Aideshu Megufav Mi'abaru Chosav, since it's surrounded on all four sides, right, by the embankments of the wine press, so therefore maybe there I need more, open space. Atomer Osir. Ha'acha Aideshu Megufav Mi'abaru Chosav, here where the wall's only on two sides, right, because of the corner wall, right? So here I might say, at Omar Mutar, I might not require four amos, have a Tzurche Masna Hocha, that's why he had to have the case over here, the Tzurche Masna Tamon, and the case over there as well. Alright, Tamon Omar, now this is a new thing, Tamon means in Bavel. They would say, Tamon is over there, right, there are a few Shalmis, which says Tamon means in Bavel. So right, Omar, at Roekilu Shpucha Matechas Tachuba. We're talking about a case where there's a branch of the vine which protrudes out over the Oris. And we said in the Mishnah that you draw a plumb line down from there, And from beneath that, where that plumb line hits, that's where it tosses to plant any grain. So in Eretz Yisrael, they would say it a little bit differently. They would say that there, it's as if you put a metal rod directly down from the branch to the ground. And wherever the metal rod hits, that's where it's also planted. The Gemara says that that is a machlokas between the Bavli and Yerushalmi. Shimon bar Vav and Shem Rabbi Yochanan said, the truth is not a Bavli. I don't think that this appears anywhere in the Bavli. Now that I'm kind of close to finishing the Bavli, I can say with some degree of confidence that I don't remember any story like this in the Bavli. So Shimon bar Vav and Shem Rabbi Yochanan said, Amokum shu nikman. You know what? Even if you have a plumb line with the weight at the end, it's what you call it, it's a little bit swings, oscillates, right? A good word, SAT word. It oscillates a little bit back and forth, right? So since it oscillates a little bit back and forth, so that the area in which it oscillates, according to the Yerushalmi, according to the Amoroi Meretz Yisrael, is also. The Bavli takes a ramrod line directly down, not taking into account any oscillation. Okay, so there is a slight machlokas here. Okay, Rabbi Yechanan Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Yosi Ben Chanina said, "Tachas eshkolos osur mekadesh." I mean, a grapevine under the, you know, although you're not allowed to plant on the area of the grapevine, but what makes it osur bano? Only if it's planted, only if the grain is planted directly underneath a cluster of grapes. Tachas alin lo, not if it's planted under leaves. It's an interesting distinction. I mean, I don't think there's any botanical distinction between the grape, something which is planted on the cluster, planted under the leaves, but it's, you know, it's just what looks like, you know, since all Marisayan here in Kilaim anyway, so what looks like it, right? Afilu tachas alin osur mekadesh, even though that grain which grows under the leaves is also osur and is mekadesh, in other words, it's forbidden to derive any pleasure from it. Hajlo chesoris, new perak, amarich esagefen, yes.
We're asking, the Bible usually refers to the Yerushalmi as not
Marogah. Right.
Here it's, you know, it's like a direction. Here it's there.
Right. I don't think it ever says like the Mizracha or something like that. No, I don't think so. Okay. Hamabrichus Hagefen Bards. Now we have a new issue, which is a runner in the ground. There might be a fancier English word for that. But you have a tree, and you take a branch. A grapevine. Take a branch, stick it back into the ground, and then it grows as a vine some distance away. Okay? So I don't know any fancy English word for it. Let's call it a runner. Okay? You don't have your English line with you, do you? So in any event, that's what I think. You have a runner which grows on the ground. Now take a look at the pictures. Flip side of that page, it should be. You see a picture of a runner on top? So in the top picture, if you have three tefachim over the root, see that? So you have three tefachim over the root in the middle where the root is at its deepest point, so you can plant grain, because as we mentioned several times already, that it's only if underground the gap of three tefachim is sufficient to make an ois kilayim, okay, to take it out of the category of kilayim climb. However, if there isn't three tefachim of ground separating the vine from the grain, lo yavi zera ale, you're not allowed to plant any grain there. Even if you put the runner through a dried gourd, obisilon, or through a pipe of pottery. Why? Because a gourd, in other words, you put the runner so it wouldn't sprout out somewhere in the middle. You put it through a gourd, which is like a pipe, or through an actual pipe. It doesn't matter. Since those are considered to be porous materials, so therefore you still need the hafzik of three tefachim. The difference that Shlomo will discuss, of course, is where you ran it through what kind of pipe? A metal pipe. Because the metal pipe is not considered porous. Okay? Hibricho b'sela. What if the runner is going through rocks? Through stone. Even though there's only a gap of three, I suppose, between the grain, three finger breadths, between the grain and the vine, the vine's roots, that's okay. You're allowed to plant grain there. If you have this case in Arkuva, literally means a knee. So here you see that there's actually a knee, so to speak, which is where the runner comes out of the first tree to go back on the ground. So that we only measure from the second root. And from this we understand that we measure the six tfachim of distance from the second root, meaning where it comes out of the ground. We're going to discuss that in the Gemara weddings, if that's exactly the case. It sounds like when it says you're not allowed to plant grain directly over the root, if it's slightly to the side, if the root is running like this on the ground, so slightly to the side on this side, slightly to the side on that side, you're allowed to plant grain. Okay, it's only directly over the root, directly over the runner, I should call it, that you're not allowed to plant the grain. So ask, what are we talking about? What are we talking about? What's the issue here? Are we afraid that the Mishnah, in general, our questions about the Mishnah, are we afraid of the concept of grafting? In other words, that the grain is going to go down, or whatever seed is going to go down, strike a root into the grapevine and graft onto the grapevine? Is that the problem we're concerned about? If that's the problem we're concerned about, imishum zroim be'ilon, a problem of grafting, lomali gefet, that don't speak specifically about grapevines, afilu sharkol, and we know that all trees are also to graft, not just grapevines, all trees are forbidden in grafting. Imishum avoda, if the issue here is not grafting, but rather the general principle that you must distance yourself somewhat from vineyards, right? That vineyards and grain cannot grow in close proximity. Then where do we get the shear of three tvachim? Now, of course, we are very smart. We already know the shear of three tvachim because we came across earlier in the Masechta. But the Yerushalmi here is starting from ground zero. It doesn't take into account the fact we found it earlier. So I ask, where did I ever see three tvachim? What kind of distances have I seen? Six tvachim, right? So where does three come from? Imishum avod, if it's a standard distance, and this neshisha should be six tvachim. Ela could Rabbi Akiva. So maybe it's like Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Akiva Amar Shlosha, because Rabbi Akiva we had seen earlier holds that the distance from a grapevine is not six, but rather three. Says more ink Rabbi Kiva, it's like Rabbi Kiva, afilu min atzad isne shlosha. So it shouldn't be mutter if it's slightly to the east, west, north, or south of the runner. It should have to be three tfachim to the east, west, north, or south of the runner, right? Says more again, ink Rabbi Kiva, afilu min atzad isne shlosha. Rabbi Yerushim Rabbi Kiva Bar Abba said, mishum zroim agabi gefen. No, it's a new concept, in a chinami. When the Zroim are on top of the Geffen and the Geffen's on the ground, then what's the shear of our Chaka? What's the shear of distance? A new concept. Three Tvachim, and it's only directly up, not sideways. You're right. It's a new concept. This is the first time we come across it. Actually, we came across it earlier. First time we come across it in the Mishnah. Okay? Now, ask more on this premise that Tamontinina, we learned about Basra. Marchigim it says Roim es Machresha. This is our halacha not based on Kilayim, but based on the concept of Niske Shchenim. I can't damage your property. Now, if I plant a tree in close proximity to your wall, it starts ruining your wall, right? The roots start breaking down your wall, right? So Montanam, we learned over there, Marchikim Sazroim Vesamach Resha, I have to distance my seeds, my plowing, Vesmeraglaim, and my urinal, Mina Koysa Shlosha Tvachim, at least three Tvachim Kriwoko, all these things have the capacity to wear down your wall. The planting, the plowshare, the plowing, and the urinating. Rabbi Yir, Amar Abba Chamar Ukva, Makshay, he asked the question based on this quote from Bava Basra. Tamonat Omar. Tamon means here. Even though Tamon usually means there, there's one in many cases in Yerushalmi where Tamon means here. Tamonat Omar Einar Shoshi Malchim Natsat. In our sugya, you're not afraid of of the roots spreading in all directions. We say only directly under the runner is over. The runner is all usher, but not in any to the east, slightly to east, west, north, or south of the runner. Yet they were afraid if you plant within three tvachim of the wall, roots are going to start spreading in all directions. What's the difference? Why there am I assuming they're going to start spreading all directions? Not here. V'achatamar. Here you say shloshim al'achatamar shloshim al'ach min atzad. Here do you say that here, but really there. There you're saying that the roots do go all over the place. How do we reconcile Bola Basso with Kilaim? True, but the question is whether the underlying principle, what about the underlying principle? According to the underlying principle is a botanical one. You're right, the manifestations are different halachas. But since the underlying question is a metzius of how botanically the roots grow, so it seems to be a contradiction in our concept of botany. That's what's bothering us. Because here where we say roots only grow, do outstrain, then we go in all directions.
There you're destroying the water, and here are the roots going
to destroy the roots. So says Maharam Rabbi Yossi, Kan v'kan en ha-shoshim al-chemin atzad. The truth is roots always grow straight. The roots of the grapevine always go straight. However, what they do is they cause the ground to crumble in their vicinity. So therefore, by Kisui Adam, Anyata Mesech the Beta, Elishain Osim Offer Tichoach, they make loose dirt. They Malkin Ariso Shakoso, which damages the foundation, the ground of the wall. So in a chami, the root will grow if you plant the vine the right way. And I don't know how you figure this out because we're not botanists. But if you plant the vine the right way, the root is going to grow parallel to the wall, not towards the wall, because roots only grow in right there in one direction. However, even though that is the case, the root itself, its presence, starts breaking down because it draws moisture and all whatever it does there. It loosens the dirt, and that's what the problem is, right? Teir choshukei. I'll bring you proof for that. Tznia Tamon, it says over there, Meiraglaim, you're not allowed to urinate within 3 tefachim of your friend's wall, right? Umeiraglaim alchemin atzad. Do Meiraglaim go sideways? No. But what do Meiraglaim do? They make the ground more breakable, I guess more fragile. And that's where they're a problem. Okay? Hesiv Rabbi Yossi Barabun. Rabbi Yossi Barabun asked a kasha, but here it's a kasha not against, but rather kasha to support the premise we just said. He asked the kasha which supports the premise we just presented. He asked on the subsequent part of the Gemara Baba Basra, the Mishnah Baba Basra, which says, V'atzinina machresha. There it says plow. You're not allowed to plow within 3 tefachim in the wall. Islach meir machresha malach min atzad. Obviously not plowing to the wall, right? You're planting parallel to the wall, not up to the wall. So why is the rest of the plan within 3 tefachim of the wall? It must be because it creates a bad environment, a weaker environment around the wall, not because it actually damaged, you'd actually hit the wall itself. So to here, the Gemara says, really roots grow straight. And that's why you can plant a little bit to the right, to the north, a little bit to the south, a little bit to the east, a little bit to the west of your underground runner. The only time it's also is directly up and top. Okay? Directly above, it has to be distantly 3 tefachim. Alright, new thing. The mission said, Afrili Vicho Bit Laso Basilon. Even if you put it through a pipe of, through a dry gourd or through a pottery pipe, it's still also. So the Gemara says, like we mentioned before, that's only Basilon Shocheris in a pottery pipe. Avo Basilon Shalavar, but he put it into a lead pipe. You might get lead poisoning. However, you don't need 3 tefachim of offering me the mile of dirt on top. What do you need? Only the 3 etzbos, like before. Right. That's really the raya. It's a parallel. However, you should know, when you put it through stone, that's by tough stone. Or it's one piece of stone, which is tough. But if you put it in through soft stone, so then it should be mispatachasi. It just expands the stone and breaks it, and then you need the same 3 tefachim. Says where Vahibish Ena Rishon Nires. This is going on the next part of the mission. The next part of the Gemara said that you only need six Tvachim from where the runner emerges. That's where the beginning of the runner is not to be seen. If the beginning of the runner, the first part, was to be seen, give six Tvachim to each side. Now, in other words, if you take a look at the pictures, In picture Kuf Lamed, you have to give six Tvachim from where the runner enters the ground. Because where the runner enters the ground is visible, right? In picture Kuf Lamed Av, where the runner enters the ground is invisible, right? Because underneath the ground. And therefore you only give six Tvachim from where the runner emerges from the ground. Okay? Says the Gemara, Tehil Choshukein. You should know this is true. The Tninon, we learned the Basra subsequently in our Perek, in other words, in the next Mishnah, Hamavrich Shloshok Fani V'Korean Nirim. It says if you run three vines into the ground, and you can see the place where they enter the ground. You need six Tvachim where they enter the ground as well. The Tanya Lo, we learned by Medvar Moin Linen Kerem. Whatever we're talking about later on is about a vineyard. Avlina Avoda Noitzim Shishan Tvoi Lekan Shishan Tvoi Lekan. Terms of Avoda, wherever both sides are visible, you have to give six Tvachim for both sides. Okay, Aloha base. Hamar Bin Shloshuk Fani V'Kareim Nirim. This is a case which we were just discussing before. Then, this case, the last picture in the Masechta, Kuf Lamed Beis. See Kuf Lamed Beis? What? Good sign. Good sign, right? It is. I am assuming it's a good sign. So in Kuf Lamed Beis, you need six Tvachim, of course, from both sides. The Shaila is here, however, is a more fundamental question. Is this a vineyard? Why should it be a vineyard? Because you have two rows.
They're extensions of the
onion. That's a Shaila, right? So what do we say here? Right? Amabich Shloshuk Shoshkvarim, Vikaranium, you can see where they went into the ground still. I guess not. I mean, we still have about 10 blot left to go. 12 blot, but I don't think so. The last 4 blot, by the way, have to do with Shatnez, so we only have 8 blot left to kill our Karim. Yes. I'm pretty sure it does have Orlo, but I'm not sure. I'm sure we'll get to it when we get themselves Orlo. Right, 2-tier Orlo system. That's right. Probably is only Orlo Midrabanan, but I'm pretty sure there is Orlo because of my sign. So in this case, Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Tzadok Omer says, if there's normal shear of a Karim between the two rows, between 4 and 8 amos, and then they are a vineyard. So what if it's the same tree? It's a vineyard. And if not, if it doesn't have the proper shear, it's too close, within 4 amos, or too far, further than 8 amos apart, and I'm in starvus and I'm in starvus. Gavin Shiyovsha. What if you have a vine which became dried up and shriveled? So Asuri is still not allowed to plant in its vicinity, Midrabana, but doesn't make whatever is planted in the vicinity, Osir Bidar Mano, of course, because it is a dead grapevine, so therefore can't make it Osir. Rameir Omer, amazing Chumra, Aptsemer Geffen Osir, Venom Kadesh. Not allowed to plant anything within the six Tvachim of a cotton bush. Tzemer Geffen is cotton. Because it looks like grapevines. Now, I don't know. I went to the yeshiva for 3 years in a kibbutz where they grow cotton. And if you ask me what a cotton plant looks like, I couldn't tell you. But allegedly, is that strange?
I had a project.
I actually used to. Yes?
To make a cotton plant. And I remember distinctly, it wasn't vines. It was like she's straight up with flowers, and in the middle of this flower was not a cluster. Okay. Right, it was not a cluster. It was like here.
It's not a cluster.
It's like a
grapevine. I don't know. I guess they grow similarly. Otherwise, Semer Geffen, which is modern Hebrew, which means cotton, is now what Semer Geffen meant in the word. That is possible. That is possible. But I'm assuming it is. So in any event, so then, even that's Maris sign. It makes it also plans for city, but it doesn't make kosher. Of course, it doesn't make you like Karen if you did plan that it's for city. He says in the name of Rabbi Meir. Af agabe agefen osir eino mekadesh. Even on top of the grapevine is forbidden, but it doesn't make it osir by Noah. And the more it's going to ask what this line means, it's cryptic. It's impossible to understand from the Mishnah itself. And be that as it may, elo osirim velo mekadesh. In the following cases, it's osir the plant, but it doesn't make b'di'evit. It doesn't make the produce osir by Noah. Moser churban akerem. Now that loch is if you have. You had three rows, each separate by eight. And in the middle row got destroyed. And now you have a separation of 16. So the loch is you distance up four amos from each side, and you plant the middle eight amos. But what about b'di'evit? If you planted within those four amos at a distance of six tefachim from the tree, but you didn't distance yourself four amos, the full four amos. So b'di'evit, that stuff is mutter. Okay? What?
What does Moser mean, the leftover?
I apologize, I made a big mistake just now. Sorry, I made a big mistake. Let me do that over again. We're talking about a case where you have less than 16 amos. The four amos are definitely osir. I apologize. The four amos are sure osir because that chok of four amos, you must distance yourself from a vineyard. So that's necessary. From a single tree, it's six tefachim. From a vineyard, it's four amos. We're talking about where between, here's a row of grapevines, and here's a row of grapevines, and between the two, there's less than 16 amos. Let's say there's 15 amos. So you're not allowed to plant anything here at all. You need to have at least 16 amos between the rows. What happens if the evid you did plant in the middle seven amos? Not the four on each side. Not seven. The middle seven. Right. Not the four over here. Not the four over here. Here in this four and this four, even if you planted the evid, it's also. Well, you planted the middle seven, even though you weren't supposed to, if you did, it's not also. That's what you're meaning. That's Moser Churban Akerem. What's left over in the Churban Akerem after you took off the four on each side, even though you weren't supposed to plant it because it wasn't the minimum of eight in the middle, nonetheless it does become Moser Banor. Similarly, Moser Mochla Akerem. Mochla Akerem, he says, where you have a wall over here and you have the grapevines over here, you're supposed to have 12 amos between the grapevines and the wall in order to plant. What if you only had 11 amos? 11 amos, and you distance yourself 4 amos, and you planted the last 7 amos over here. So again, this is really osur. You're not supposed to do that, right? But the evidence, however, if you did it, it doesn't osur those 7 amos. Okay? So to Moser Piskei Oris. We said before that you're supposed to, when you have between two arasim, you're supposed to have 8 amos in a ma and a v'od. Said yes, it's the only time you have the word va'od, meaning extra tefach. What if you didn't have the extra va'od? So b'di'evit, whatever's over six tefachim, because in Oris it's not like a full blown vineyard, so therefore you only need six tefachim. Well, b'di'evit, what's more than six tefachim away from the last vine either side is okay. And the same thing, mutar apipirus. In the case over there, we said where you have the trellis, and it will eventually extend, but it hasn't extended yet. So b'di'evit, that which is at least six tefachim away from whatever is growing is not osur. Avotachas hagefen, but that which is underneath the grapevine, va'avoidas hagefen, that which is within the six tefachim distance from a single grapevine, va'arba'a amos shebekerem, and that which is in the four amos, this which you need from a vineyard, harelu mekadshin. In all these cases, the whatever grows there is also by Noah, must be burnt. Okay? I'm Rabbi Lesser.
Avodah
A single Geffen is six. Rabbi Akiva said three, but we Boskin six. I'm Rabbi Lesser. Rabbi Lesser said, which halacha the Yerushalmi doesn't say, but the halacha of a dry grapevine being also because of marasayin. Now, lala to plant in the proximity of a shriveled up dry vine because of marasayin, the Rabbi Meiri. That's going like Rabbi Meir. It's Rabbi Meir's chumra. Rabbi Meir was machmir by cotton. He's machmir this as well. Says more nicho besisva. I understand this chumra marasayin in the winter, where all trees look dry. So people want to be able to see between a dry dead tree and a dry live tree, right? Because all trees look dry. What? Stop is fall. But I mean, you know, when after stuff falls off the tree. Avo beketa, but what about in the summer? Right? Why he answered in the summer? There's a major difference in the summer. In the summer, one is full of leaves and one is dead. So there's the matron tarfine. There's some places where the leaves fall off, hafilu bakaito, even in the middle of the summer. So therefore he made a marasayin even in the middle of the summer. Okay? Rabbi Shmuel b'shem Rabbi Zira. Now we go to that, now we're going to explain that cryptic phrase in our Mishnah. We had a cryptic phrase that said that Rabbi Lezer tzog sanim ramer, afal gabi agefen osir v'eno mekadish. And we didn't understand what that meant. So now we're going to have two explanations of that. Rabbi Shmuel b'shem Rabbi Zira said, al gabi zmora he must nisa. This is talking about when, you have less than three tfachim. This is the case that you had in previous Mishnah. We have the runner and the ground. It's supposed to have three tfachim between the runner and the grain on top of it, right? So what if he didn't have the three tfachim? So that's what it's talking about. B'diyeved, it's not also. L'chatchil, you need this is a three tfachim. B'diyeved, it's not also. That's one interpretation, okay? Agabi Zmori must be on the runner and the ground. Rabbi Bun b'shem Barchi b'shem Meshul bar Rabbi Yitzchok said another interpretation. La'avir asora he must be so. This is talking about where the grain is growing above. I guess you need a lower field in order to really imagine this. You have a lower field of grapevines here. And you have a higher field of grain. And the grain is growing out of the fields on an angle above the grapevines. So, and there's a separation of 10 tfachim between the two. No, it's not. No, there isn't separation. Paul's right. Within 10 tfachim of the two. So in that case, we say it's usur, but it's not usur banor. Again, there's it's growing within the airspace of the grapevines. I assume the same thing vice versa as well. If the grapevines are going over, no. In the other case, it's more chomer. In the case of the grapevines are going over the grain, so then we taka say the grain is usur banor, you must burn it. This is talking about specifically where the grain is growing over the grapevines. So there I say, it's also to do, but b'diyeved, you don't have to burn the grain, or the grapevines. I'm not sure what the difference is, I just know that we learned earlier today, that the opposite case you have to burn, that was the end of the last parak. The end of the last parak said if something is growing under, we had a machlokas is going under the eshkolos, or even under the alim, but we said that in that case, also a mikadish. This is clearly talking about only where the grain is growing over the vines and not the vines growing over the grain. The reason this is probably so, I'm thinking as I'm going along, the reason this is probably so is because here we have to say, in other words, where grapevines grow over grain, they form a canopy. Because the tree has a look of a canopy. So therefore, anything which grows under the canopy becomes ulcer. But grain has no concept of canopy. Right? It's not really a canopy. There's no such thing as a canopy formed by grain, because grain doesn't grow in such a fashion. If it does create a canopy, it's an artificial concept. And therefore, the canopy created by the grain over the grapevines is an artificial concept, which only asks the Rabbanon. It doesn't ask me the Raisa to make a Kiliyat Karam. I just saw that thrown on the spot. I don't know if it's true or not true, but it sounds very, very good. I say so myself. Okay, says more further. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says along these lines, Havin on Sovereign, Kerem Yeshlo Avir. I thought that the concept of a vineyard having airspace is unique unto a vineyard. Okay? How a Gevin Yechidus, but a single grapevine, Ein Lo Avir, doesn't have any airspace. Doesn't have the concept of airspace. Mimado Amar Rabbi Bun Barachia B'Shem Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yitzchak. However, that which Rabbi Bun Barachia named Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yitzchak, which you just learned, said La'avir asoro imastisa. There are mishnas talking about where grain is going over the airspace of a grapevine, and here it's talking about a single grapevine, because the mishnah said agabe gefen, not agabe kerem. Said agabe gefen, even a single grapevine. From this, I have to deduce that Adam Rafil Gavin Yichidis Yeshlo Avir, that the concept of airspace going up and catching the grain over it applies even to a single grapevine, not just to a vineyard. Okay? Says the one further. Moser Mochla Kerem Arbamos. Now, have we done two blocks, by the way?
No.
Not quite. Okay. Yeah, we're going to go past the Mishnah. But the next Gemara until the Mishnah is murder. Just so I let you know about that. Okay? Mosar Mochel HaKerem Arba Armus. This is a quote from our Mishnah. We said that actually, the Moser Mochel HaKerem is that which is beyond. Moser Mochel HaKerem is a quote from our Mishnah, and that's Arba Armus. In other words, you have the Mochel HaKerem over here. Here's the raw vines. Here's the fence. Anything beyond the four amos, the seven amos, even though you're not supposed to plant to them, but be the evidence, it does nasser. So that's the moser mochla kerem, this extra seven amos, it doesn't become moser, be the evidence. Chatchila shouldn't plant there, be the evidence, it does not become moser. Okay? Says the Gemara, moser churban akerem arbam. It's the same thing by moser churban akerem, that's this case over here, where you had 50 amos between the two, you're not supposed to plant there, as long as you had four amos on either side, so then the seven amos in the middle don't become awesome. Okay? Moser Piskei Oris, we mentioned in the Mishnah that there's a concept of Piskei Oris. In order to make that easier, maybe you can find the picture for me. It's on the flip side, you know? Don't look very far. Well, let's just look at the picture. And picture, Kuf Chav. Was it Kuf Chavav? Yeah. Picture Kuf Chavav, right? So you're supposed to have eight amos and va'od and a tefach between the two are racing, right? If you don't have that, it's also to plant there. However, if you ever have, you did plant there. So since these are not true vineyards, they're only arasim. So then, the shear, which is actually mekadesh, which actually comes us, there's only six tvachim on each side. Anything which is more than six tvachim away from the first vine in either direction doesn't become osur b'dieved. Again, by regular vineyard, the minimal distance in order that it should be osur b'dieved is four amos. By a single grapevine, the minimum shear is six tvachim. Here, since an oris is only a quasi vineyard, so the shear remains six tvachim. Right? And that's why, even if you didn't have the proper distance, which is eight amos in a tefach, say only had seven amos, right? Let's say you had only seven amos. So how much is that at actually osur? So seven, six tvachim is 1.5 amos, right? So seven minus three means that that three of them are osur, 1.5 on each side, and the four in the middle are mutar. Okay? Okay? So says the Gemara, the same thing, Motor Apipirus Shisha Tvachim. And Apipirus is also where we have those, that case over there. Kuf Chav Hei. That's also not really a vineyard, right? So it's only that we answer because the rest of it might eventually spread over the rest of them and be an awning, a canopy over the grain. So therefore, in this case also, as long as the grain underneath the rest of the apipirus is in fact more than six tefachim away from where the grapevines end, so then but the evidence okay. Okay? That was all easy. Now comes our part. Bena saimau. In between. What's the halacha? Now, this case of in between is talking about a case where, alright. Let's remember a basic principle in order to explain this. Where you have just a vineyard of two rows, what's the max? In other words, you have, let's say, the minimum five. What's the maximum distance you can have between the rows? Eight amas. When you have a larger vineyard, say of nine, what's that in three rows? What's the maximum difference you can have between the rows? 16. That's right. Again, when it's only two rows, that's called a kerem cotton. The maximum distance between the rows in order that it should be considered a vineyard is 8 amos. Where you have three rows, the maximum difference between the rows and it should still be considered a vineyard goes all the way up to 16. Okay? Now we said, if you have three rows of 16, three rows, each of which is 16 apart, let's say we have 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And between each of these is 16 amos. Okay? In this case, you're not supposed to plant in those 16 amos. Not supposed to, because this is all considered to be part and parcel of a vineyard. Right? Because it's just a large vineyard. What happens if you did plant there? He planted in these 6 amos between the two. Benasaimau. So Rabbi Yechonamar. Now, of course, they're not talking about within the first 4 amos. That's obviously also. Talking about you planted the middle 8 amos. In each one, right? And he weren't supposed to because this is a large vineyard. Right? So you can't say, well, these 16 amos are going to plant in the middle. It's a large vineyard that's also to plant. What if you plant it nonetheless? So we have machlokas. Rabbi Yochamar Osir Mekadish. Rabbi Yochamar says, it's forbidden, but it's not Mekadish. Says more. Now, what case are we talking about? Manar. Well, generally, our assumption, if it's Eina Mekadish, it's only the Rabbana, not the Reza. Okay, Manav Shach, what are we talking about? Kerem Gadolu. What are we talking about in our Mishnah? What is that?
I think we're asking that. Second.
No. We're asking Rav Shimon ben Reish Lakish. According to Reish Lakish, who says it's also Vedi Meikul Mekadish. What are we talking about? Are we talking about Kerem Godol, who we're talking about a large vineyard, like I said over here? Lomali Churbano. Then, you know what? It's our Mishnah. If you're correct, Reish Lakish, then in this case, it's Osir Veda Mekadesh. And this is talking about a regular case where you have a large vineyard. So why did our Mishnah speak about Mosar Churban Akerem and say that in a case where there was 15 amos across, and you're not supposed to plant, you planted just the middle seven, you planted the middle seven. It's not Osir. Tell me, don't talk about a Churban Akerem. Churban Akerem means where there originally was a row here in the middle. And that row got taken away. Right? That's called Churban Akerem. Don't tell me about Churban Akerem, which is a non-prevalent case. Talk about a regular classic case. Talk about a large vineyard where you had 16 amos, where it's also the plant, but Bidievi did plant its mutter. In other words, our Mishnah spoke about Churban Akerem, where he started over the vineyard, which had a vineyard which was 8 amos across, only 8 amos between the trees, and one row got taken away. Don't talk about a Churban Akerem. Your same halacha applies by a classic Karen. that even though you're not allowed to plant the 8 amas in the middle, but the evidence, if you did plant them, it's okay. So why not talk about a classic case? So if it's about, if it, you're the principle applies like you say, Rish Lakish. Even in this case, why is our Mishnah talking about a churban where there was a row in the middle which got knocked down or something? Apilu Mata also Tiko talk about a classic case. Now, Karam Kotnu, if you're going to say there are Mishnahs talking about a small Karam, so Rish Lakish maybe will say no. Our Mishnah is talking about a Churban Kerem was originally a Kerem which had 8 amos between each row. And that's why it's talking about Churban Kerem. It's talking about a place where there's originally up to 8 amos between each row. And that's why the Mishnah is talking about the Churban Kerem. And it's talking about, let's say it had not 8 amos between each row, but 7 amos between each row. And now after the middle row is destroyed, how much you have between each row? Only 14, right? And now you want to plant those 14, you're not allowed to. But if you didn't plant, then the middle 6 are okay. 4 amas each side is lost, the middle 6 are okay. So maybe that's how you want to tie to the Mishnah, Reish Lakish. The Amish is talking specifically about Kerem Katzar, where Chorav, the middle, got destroyed. Says Mar, prove to you that can't be either. If it's talking about Kerem Katzar, ain't no machol. If it's talking about Kerem Katzar, there's no concept machol akerem. Now this is something which I think we might have had early in the Masechta, I forgot it. So let's assume it's new. Yeah. In this case, originally it started being Kerem Katzar. That means it had 8. We draw 6 trees for simplicity's sake. Had 8 amas between each row. In this case, says Gemara, there's no concept mochel akerim. Our Mishnah is talking about mochel akerim, where you have 12 amos over here. What's that look? If you didn't have the proper 12 amos, but rather only had 11 amos. And now we said that the first 4 amos are osir, but the next 7 we said are okay. These are no good, but these are okay. Says Gemara, the concept of mochel akerem cannot apply in this kerem by definition. Because if this is only 8 amos between the rows, you cannot consider a 12 amma gap to the wall to be part and parcel of the kerem. That's a paradox. Where can I say that a 12 amma gap to the wall is considered to be part and parcel of the vineyard and is osur, where these are 16 amas across? Because then I say, well, 16 means 4 and 4 and 8 in the middle. So what happens if you only have 1 on the side and the other side a wall? So it takes away 4. What's the mochel akerem? 12 amos, right? And anything less than 12 amos is forbidden to plant there. But if this is 8, so it's a paradox to say, well, between the vineyard vines are only 8 amos. But on this side, where there's a wall, I'm going to answer up to 12 amos. That's being more machmir between a wall and a row of vines than between two vines. That cannot be. It's a logical conundrum. Okay? So Gemara is saying, our Mishnah is speaking about the concept of mochel akerem. The concept of mochel akerem can't exist in a minimal size kerem. It can only exist in a kerem which has 16 amos between the rows. Okay? Again, it's a basic axiom. It can't be more chomor between the row of vines and the wall than between each the two rows of vines themselves. So if this is 8 amos between the vines, then there can't be a mochel akerem. The only thing that can be a mochel akerem is if there's 16 amos between the vines, then I can say, and between the vines and the wall, 12 amos is the minimal share, but not where there's 8 amos. So says the Mar Reish Lakish, you can't learn our Mishnah that it's going on a kerem katan, because it's talking about kerem katan. In kerem katan, ain't no machol, there's no dinner machol. So what are we talking about in our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, I'll tell you what it's talking about in our Mishnah. Elo ki onan kayamin. What it's talking about in our Mishnah? Bekerem gadol, it's a large kerem in that it has more than 2 rows. It's got 3 rows. However, Shanota Amata Karen Kotan. It's got only 8 amos between each row. That's the case we're talking about. We're talking about in our Mishnah, it had 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3, in between each of which was 8 amos. And here's the machol over here. No. Can't anywhere between 8 and 16, right? Okay. The truth is, you have a minimum of 4. The minimum is 4, I think, if I recall correctly, between vines. No, for Cam Cotton. It's still the same minimum, it just has a larger maximum. Okay, it's a larger maximum. Right. Okay, so says, well, that's the case of Cam Gadol, Shanata Amata Cam Cotton. So in that case, if that's the case, says Gemara, Om Rabbi Zira, Hadar Merua, this teaches us that Kerem Gadol Shanata Shmona Shmona, if you have a Kerem Gadol where it is 8 by 8, the next word is a major typo. It should be Yeshlo Macho. It's got a Macho. Now, it's way you just explained the Mishnah according to Reish Lakish, by definition, you are Mechadish. That this is the case we're talking about. A case where it started out being a large Kerem, where things were close together like a small Kerem. And that's why you talk about Kerem Shechorav, right? Because it's talking about where you eliminate this middle row, and it really wasn't 16, a little bit less than 16, right? So this will have to be like 7.5 and 7.5, but the same idea, right? So you had a middle row which got obliterated, and now you're not supposed to plant here in the middle because it's less than 16. But the evidence, if you planted, so the middle, whatever it is, is not osir. In this case, says Rabbi Zira, since our mission is talking about Kerem Kotan, which is Natua Kerem Gadol, it teaches us that in this case, you have a Machol HaKerem. Hi, it's a paradox. Because between each vine is only 8 amos, and between the vines and the wall, there must be 12 amos. It's not a paradox. Because since it's a large carom, it has the potential of a spread of 16 amos between each row. Hi, you didn't plant it that way. That's your prerogative. You don't have to plant that way. But since you have the prerogative of planting with a distance of up to 16 amos between the rows, that means that it has the Machol HaKerem, which is less severe, of 12 amos. Again, in a small carom where the vines cannot be, since only 2 rows, the vines cannot be farther apart than 8 amos. Therefore, there is no Machol HaKerem of 12 amos, because that would make between the vines and the wall more severe than between the 2 rows of vines. That's not logical. But here, even though they're in a large carom, which is planted at the intervals of a small carom, it's true. You only have in practice 8 amos between each row of vines. But Lamaisa, you had the license to have 16 between each row of vines and still have it considered to be a carom. Therefore, since you had that license, those 12 amos over there, those 12 amos are a machol HaKerem. Again, it takes account what you could have done, and therefore there's a concept of machol HaKerem.
You can't plant within the 12 amos until the fence. Make it also 3.
Less than more than 12, that's right. Even though here there are only 8, here the shear is 12. Again, because we look at what he could have done hypothetically, not what you could have done in practice. Okay? Says more further. You ready to go further? In Tamar, Mato Sheshesrei, El Sheshesrei, Tocho Osir, Umikadesh, Chutzel, Umikadesh.
That fits it to Marzal, and that goes to the husband.
Right.
The inner part.
Just a second, I forgot how to learn this line. This is going now to Rabbi Yechonon. It's still the same issue. Well, we're proving that according to Rabbi Yechonon, also our mission is talking about a Kerem Cotton, that a Kerem Gadol that you planted at the spacing of a Kerem Cotton. Yeah, okay. I'm told you it's hard. You proved according to Ray. It's doubly hard when you're falling asleep. I know. Sorry. You warned us ahead of time. If you're. This we prove now, according to Reish Lakish, has got to be the case. We ask according to Reish Lakish according to Reish Lakish, a large karam at intervals of a small karam. How do we prove that? We said because according to Reish Lakish, otherwise we should tell you about a large karam. Plant intervals of a large karam. It's talking about Chorbana karam. Talk about a regular karam. Because talking about the original karam. Because according to Reish Lakish, just like between by karam Shechorav, you don't answer the middle section as long as there's four amas on either side. So too by karam Godo. You don't answer the middle section, whatever's more than four amas from either side. So we ask Kasha, if we're talking about Reish Lakish, so don't talk about Kerem Shechorav, talk about a large Kerem. So that Rabbi Reish Lakish said, no, our mission is talking about a Kerem cotton, and therefore if it's talking about a Kerem Godo, a large Kerem which was planted at intervals of Kerem cotton, and therefore had there not been a Churbana Kerem, then I would have said that, of course, whatever's planted between these two is also even B'dievet. Why? Because there's less than four amos from either tree, right? So therefore, it's also even b'dievet. That's why it says Reish Lakish, our mission is talking about a case where it's a churban akerem. Okay? Why is it talking about a churban akerem? Again, in order to have a case where there's going to be okay b'dievet, because there's more than four amos to either one, because there's no middle row in between the two which are still standing. Now we have to prove, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that our mission is also talking about the same scenario, about a Kerem Gadol which is planted at intervals of Kerem Kot. How do we prove that according to Rabbi Yochanan? This is a little bit even more difficult. Rabbi Yochanan holds, going back to where Yochanan holds, Rabbi Yochanan holds in a classic big Kerem. One row of trees, 16 amos, another row of trees. The entire area between each row of trees is Mekadesh. This is a chumrah which he said before, that if you have, then when we started talking about the issue of Bein Asayim, Rabbi Yochanan said, the whole kul of our Mishnah, of the Churban HaKerem, being Mutter B'dieved, doesn't apply where it was a classic large Kerem. There, the entire 60 namas between each vine is considered to be Mekadesh. There's no area between the two vines which is even Mutter B'dieved. That's Rabbi Yochanan saying. So says the Gemara, if that's the case, we understand that Rabbi Yochanan also has to learn the Mishnah like Reish Lakish. That's why about a case where it was a Kerem Gadol, which is planted at intervals of Kerem Katan and then was Chorav. Why is that? Very simply. If it's talking about a Kerem Gadol originally planted at intervals of 16 amos, then there's no Mutter B'dieved. Armish is trying to find a scenario where it's Mutter B'dieved, whatever's planted between the two rows. In Rabbi Yochanan holds, in a case where there's 16 amos between the rows in a large Kerem to begin with, there's nothing which is Mutter B'dieved. Everything has to go up in smoke. Everything is Aser Banah. What's a scenario which Rabbi Yochanan can learn that you're going to have now a space between two rows where it's going to be Mutter B'dieved? Of course, obviously, we have to talk about Kerem Godo, because then there's nothing to talk about Chorav. Chorav, by definition, implies there were three rows to begin with, one of which is now missing. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan now has to say that it's talking about a case where it was originally a Kerem Godo planted at the intervals of Kerem Katan, and now the middle got burnt down. And it is in that case, the Churban HaKerem is okay. Right? But now, it's less severe than a Karen Gadol, which was planted originally at 16 amos, was originally planted at intervals at 8 amos, and now the middle row is destroyed, then it's less severe. Whatever grows in between, as long as the distance of 4 amos from each side, is mutter b'dieved. That's how Rabbi Yochanan has to learn our Mishnah. That's necessary for Rabbi Yochanan to learn our Mishnah that way. But says Mara goes a step further and says, I'll prove to you that this is the case. I'll prove to you even greater extent. How will I prove that to you to even greater extent? Let's think about the Mochel HaKaren. If we're talking about, if we're quoting Rabbi Yochanan, in a case where a classic large Karen, you have 60 Nama between each row, right? The whole 60 Nama is Osir. Then again, the logic dictates that in the 12 Amos of the Mochel HaKerem, the whole thing is Osir as well. All those 12 Amos should be Osir. There shouldn't be anything which is Mutzer in that case. Yet our Mishnah is saying that Mochel HaKerem is Mutzer. That Mochel HaKerem is Mutzer, but the Yevet, not Chatchila. Chatchila, if it's less than 12 Amos, you can't plant anything, but the Yevet, it's okay. If it's like Rabbi Yochanan, we're talking about like Rabbi Yochanan, in a Karen Gadol, which is planted 16 Amos across, between each vine, so then there can't be, we can't say that the Mochel HaKerem is Mutzer, but the Yevet. Just like he holds that the 16 amos between each of the rows of vines is Osir in B'dieved, so too the 12 amos between the last row of vines and the wall should be Osir in B'dieved. What is the only case in which it can be matir those 12 amos, even B'dieved? Only a case where we're talking about a Kerem Gadol, which is planted at the intervals of Kerem Katan. Because then really, what's the, really, it's not the full, just like there, we say that where the middle row is Chorav. So then, anything more than 4 amos away from either the row of vines is Mutter B'dieved. So too, in the Mochel HaKerem, that which is more than 4 amos away from the last row of vines is Mutter B'dieved. Okay, that's what we're proving here. Again, by virtue of the fact that our Mishnah says that the Mochel HaKerem is Mutter, it must be that the whole entire Mishnah is talking about a case, Mutter B'dieved, must be talking about a case where we began with a vineyard, which although it has more than 3 rows, is planted at closer intervals than 8 amos. And then I can say, well, there's no area of 16 in this vineyard, which is also, right? Since there's no Osir area of 600 vineyards in Osir, I do not have to say that the 12 of the Mochel is Osir either. And therefore, just like where it's Chorav, anything between the two rows which still remain, as long as it's four amos distance from either row on each side, is Mutter B'dieved, so too, in the same vineyard, anything which is more than 4 amos away from the row of vines, between the vines and the wall, is Mutter B'dieved. Don't ask me to repeat that. I won't ask you to repeat that. That's what the Gemara says, okay? It's on tape. You can chaz it over any time you want, or either that or we'll come back to it in 4 years. Let's go for it. Boy, and a hard blot in Ida this morning, hard blot in Key Lion this afternoon. It's no rest for the weary. Okay? Again, in Tamar Mata Sheshesrei al Sheshesrei Tocho Osir, if you're going to say that between, let's talk about a case where it's a classic vineyard of 16, 16, 16, and the entire 16 is Osir, Umekadish, and it's Osir even B'dieved, it's Mekadish, that the Mochel should be Osir. Right? Certainly the Mochel of 12 Amos should be Osir. The only case in which we say the Mochel of 12 Amos, that is long, whatever is more than 4 Amos away from the vineyard is Mutzer B'dieved, is only a case where the interval between the vines, which are in the vineyard part, is less than 6 Amos, is 8 Amos. Rabbi Yossi said, Ein Lokim El Al Ikar Kerem. You should know. Rabbi Yossi says, this is a very radical approach here. Now, I'm learning not like the disciple's son who says a different shot this morning. He says Rabbi Yossi's statement is connected to the previous Gemara. I'm learning it as a separate statement because it's much easier that way. Rabbi Yossi's saying, there are 3 Madregas. There's Osir, Osir Mekadesh, and Malkus. Osir is that which is Osir Midrabbanan. Osir Mekadesh, it may also be Osir Midrabbanan, but it's Osir Ba'anoa, right? In other words, Osir is Osir to do, but Yevdi did it smoother. Osir Makaj means Osir Bana. But what do you get Malkus for planting or eating? What do you, we actually take you out and flog you if you planted it, and flog you if you ate it. Only that which actually grows within, interspersed with the vineyards, with the vines. So that which is within the four amos of the vines, or of when it's a vineyard, or that which is in the sixth tvachim of a single vine, although it's usur umekadesh, you don't get malchus for it. What get malchus for? Only that which grows mamish intermingled together with the grapevines. Okay? So it says Rabbi Yossi, ein lokin elal ikar kerem, that which grows in the primary part of the vineyard. Which, although as those types of sons don't say that pshat, I think is good pshat. Okay, let's just go a little bit further so we can catch up some ground. Hamasakech, another 5 minutes. Hamasakech is gafno agabi tvosu shul chaveiro. This is already a different issue. There's a chosh mishpat issue. Well, it's not. It's mixing chosh mishpat and yard there. I have a vineyard next to your grain, and I put make a canopy with my vines over your grain. I ask you your grain and I have to pay you for it. Rabbi Yitzhak Shumer, I can't ask for your grain. It's only, again, the whole issue of Kilayim is all, you know, what I can do to my own grain. What I am allowing to happen, I can't do to your grain. Rabbi Yitzhak Shumer, it's an amazing case. A guy went and he took his vineyard during Shemitah and he planted with grain. Chazal were maturit. He said it's okay. Why is it okay? Close. Well, yeah, maybe it doesn't mean you don't own it. And in Amosa, Dover Shane Shalom. Right? During Shemitah, you don't own the vineyards, you don't own the grain. It's all growing wild, it can't become Osir. Only you can answer in that which you own with your grapevines. You can answer your grain, but here you own nothing because it's Shemitah. Yes, but that's not Kilea Karen. That's right. So it says Lo Tizor Karme Chokilayim. Says you, how do we know that this is true? Because there's your vineyard, Canva's climb, not the other guy's vineyard. Any other care, that's only your kerem, kerem achiminai. How do I know that nonetheless you're not allowed to, this is talking about where you have a goy. Not another Jew's next to you, but a goy. How do you know you're not allowed to plant your vineyard so it forms a canopy over a goy's grain? Or it's over another Jew's grain, it can't ask for it. And therefore, there's not even an issue in the Torah Midoraisa. But what about a case where you have a goy next to you? So the Gemara says in that case, it's Osir. You can't make a canopy of your grapevines over your neighbor goy's grain. Why not? What? I assume both. No, but he can't sell it. A Jew can't buy it. How do we know that that's true? So kerem acher meaning a goy minayin. Tamalomar kerem velo kilayim. This is a little bit. This is very ambiguous. The disciple's son said it means, since it says lo tizra karmecha kilayim. That means that your kerem shouldn't have kilayim in it, even if it's not your kilayim, even kilayim of a goy. So lo tizra karmecha kilayim means with somebody else's kilayim. Had it said kilayim lo tizra karmecha, then I would say that it's your kilayim. You can't plant in your vineyard. Since it says lo tizra karmecha kilayim, it means that even somebody else's kilayim, you cannot mingle with your kerem. That can't be another Jew's, because ain't the Makadish Tavar Shein or Shalom. Rather, it has to do with the goys. It's a little bit strange, but that's what the Mara says. Okay? Says, well, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Divrei HaKol. I'm Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer said, Divrei, the Rabbi Meir, this is like Rabbi Meir. The Rabbi Meir, Ein L'Goy, Kinei Beretzirul, Pocher Min HaMaisers. That Rabbi Meir holds a Goy, doesn't have a Kinei Beretzirul to exempt it from Maiser. So he can't exempt it from Kilayim too. However, according to Rabbanon, that a Goy's property is exempt from Maiser, there's no Kilayim in this case either. Why? Because it's like a piece of Chutzlaretz in Eretz Yisrael. And Kilayim Chutzlaretz is only the Rabbanon this Gemara is learning. So they weren't Goy's there on a mingling of the grain of the Goy with your grapevines. Says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Divrei HaKol. You know, it's even going to Rabbanon. He bought there, but Goy Shazora Kamar Kilayim Locham in Yisrael. We're talking about a case where the Goy planted his vineyard with Kilayim, and the Jew bought it from him. That the moment the Jew bought it from him, it becomes his, of course, and at that point it becomes also. Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi said, Rabbi Normi, Rabbi Mary. Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi said, no, both it's going like Rabbi Meir, that even after Goy has possession of field, it doesn't become a chutzlaretz, and therefore there's constant kiliya kerem, where your field is adjacent to a Goy's vineyard, or vice versa. We'll stop here for this evening. The more which discusses more that there's no kerem, Mochel HaKerem by Karen Collins, not Dav Chofam Rav.